For our reading this evening, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke and read from chapter number 5. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 5. And it came to pass that, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I'd like to skip down to verse number 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I'd like to conclude there with the 32nd verse. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us when we consider what was the purpose of Jesus coming here upon this earth. What can we distill that purpose down to? I believe it's found in Matthew's gospel as well as in this gospel of Luke as well. Here in Luke's gospel it says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is why Jesus came here upon this earth, to seek out souls that would come to faith, that would believe, and save them. Save them from an eternal hell. Save them from destruction. Save them that they might have life, and that more abundantly. This is the purpose that Jesus came here upon this earth, to seek and to save that which was lost. In the reading that we had this evening, the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 31 said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And then further he says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If there are those who do not feel that they are a sinner, then they are not lost. And Jesus Christ doesn't have anything to save us from if we feel that we are not lost. But if we recognize our sinful state, if we recognize the disease, the spiritual sickness that we have in sin without Christ, then Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save us. He came to save us from that eternal damnation, from that hell, from that fire that is not quenched. Jesus Christ came to save. But we need to recognize, first and foremost, that without Jesus Christ, before we come to know him, we are spiritually diseased. We are sick. We are lost. We need a physician. And so he's calling us, as sinners, to repentance. This is what Jesus spoke to them, to the scribes and Pharisees at this time. Simon Peter recognized who he was, even in this instance where that we read of in this evening hour, when he says in verse number 8, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He recognized his sinful state. He recognized the deity of Jesus Christ and his goodness and his power. And Peter recognized also his own nothingness. His own nothingness. The Lord Jesus also spoke a parable to certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And we know that parable very well, that where the Pharisee and the publican go to pray, and the Pharisee lauds himself as if he's righteous, as if he's not lost, as if he's something without Jesus Christ. And so he spoke that parable with the intent to those which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So first and foremost, we realize Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. But we need to identify that we have been lost. Without Jesus Christ, we are lost. We are dead in sin. And we need a Savior. We need that redemptive work of the perfect Lamb of God upon the cross of Calvary to save us and to bring us into that eternal realm with God in heaven above. And so, as Jesus comes here upon this earth, and he's seeking and he's saving those that would come to him, we see the response of those who would follow him and would answer his call. When Jesus came to Levi here, or Matthew, he also went by that name as well. He tells Matthew or Levi, "Follow me." It says that Matthew left all. He left all, rose up and followed him. Levi, he didn't first count the money, make sure the money was secure. He didn't first go turn it into the Roman government. He didn't want to maintain that stability and that position of power that he had as a publican. He simply left all. He rose up and he left all and followed Jesus. This is a condition of being a disciple, as the Bible says, to leave all and to follow Jesus Christ. This is what Levi did. Likewise, when Jesus called the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and said that henceforth thou shalt catch men, it says, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. It requires for us to be saved, as Jesus Christ has come here upon this earth to save us. It requires on our part that we would forsake all, that we would leave all and follow our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. This is what it requires on our part. Levi did that. Peter, James, and John did that. Can we just simply imagine how it was at this time where these two boats are almost sinking because they have so much fish in them? There's so much, and they bring them to land. And Jesus says, "Follow me." And it says that they left it. They left it. They brought their ships to land. They forsook all and they followed him. They didn't say to Jesus, "Well, we just caught all this fish. Let us sell it first. And then maybe we'll sell our boats and we'll sell the business and then we'll come follow you." It says they forsook all. They forsook all and followed him. This is what the Lord desires of us as he has come here upon this earth to save us, to seek us out and to save us. It requires that we leave all and follow him. Also here in this gospel, Jesus speaks of leaving all and following him. In chapter 14, verse number 27, Jesus says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." If we want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we first have to recognize that we are lost. We are a sinner. We need the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. And so we need that, and then the condition to be his disciples would be that we would bear the cross, his cross, and come after him. And Jesus also says in chapter 14, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Levi understood this. He left all and that booth, that tax collection booth, and all that came with that, that position of authority, he left it all and followed Jesus. Peter, James, and John left the boats, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus says, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciples." This they did, and for this they were blessed. Jesus, or Peter here, later in the ministry, Peter says to Jesus, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." He's making a proclamation to Jesus. We've done this. We've left all and followed thee. And Jesus responds to him and says, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting." There is a gain. There is a rich gain when we lose that which we prize here upon this earth. Jesus is teaching that. There is a gain through loss. There is a gain through loss. If we leave all for the kingdom of God's sake, we shall receive manifold more present in this present life and in the life to come, life everlasting. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are true. They will come to pass. And we can believe in that, and we can have faith in these words of Jesus Christ and know them to be truth. Jesus Christ declared himself to be truth. So now let's begin here at the beginning of the chapter, here in verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." He had been preaching. This is the beginning now of his ministry here. It's early in the gospel, and he had preached in Nazareth, and he told them about many widows that were in the land that were in the land in the time of Elijah, but only one was fed, and there were many lepers in the time of Elisha, but only Naaman was healed and cleansed. And it made the people of Nazareth angry, and they brought him to the brow of the hill, and they wanted to cast him headlong in the midst. But he passing through, he went his way. And then he comes down to Capernaum. So he preached in Nazareth, and then he preaches in Capernaum, and he enters into the synagogue, and he's preaching to them. And then he goes out throughout all the land of Galilee, and he preaches in their synagogues, and some wanted to retain him and keep him in their cities, but he says, I must go and preach the kingdom of God in other cities, for therefore am I sent. He came in to seek and to save that which was lost. And there were many who responded to his teaching, sometimes in the synagogue, and then now sometimes on the seashore. And so he's out on Peter's boat, a little ways from land, and able to use the benefit of the acoustics of being out on the lake and speaking to the group of people that are on the shore. And he's teaching them and preaching the kingdom of God. And here Luke doesn't specifically say what he was preaching. In the next chapter, we read much of what Jesus specifically was teaching as he's seeking and saving that which was lost. So when he had completed speaking, he says to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. There was some effort now that Jesus is telling his disciples to do. He was telling them that they needed to do something. And likewise, Jesus requires effort on our part when he tells us to leave all and come follow me. It will require effort. It will require effort on our part. And so Jesus is telling them, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. And Simon answers him saying, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Here it was, Peter, an expert, professional fisherman. He knew how to fish. He knew the lake. He knew his nets. He knew the boat. He knew the patterns of the wind. He knew all these things. Jesus was a carpenter from Nazareth. But yet Peter knew and had heard Jesus' teachings. He had heard him when he was in Galilee and in Capernaum and perhaps even in Nazareth. And he had heard the preaching of Jesus and the preaching of the kingdom of God. And then we also read in the previous chapter that Jesus went to Simon's house and healed Simon's mother-in-law. So though Peter was an expert fisherman, he knew the power of Jesus. He knew that this man could do much. And so he responds saying, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. We put our nets down and had the benefit of nighttime fishing where the fish wouldn't see the net. And we tried this way and we tried that way. And we did everything that we could do that we knew of. And there was nothing. We didn't bring in anything. And by the way, we've already cleaned up our nets. And we've been out all night long. We're a little tired. But Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down thy net. And so Peter is compliant. Peter listens and does what Jesus tells him to do. And so when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Well, the Bible here says ships. We think of ships as on a very grand scale, but these weren't also little boats. They were substantial boats, maybe a small ship, a large boat, and to consider that there would be so much fish in these two boats that the wood is just groaning underneath the weight of all the fish that are in these two boats, and they're slowly making their way to land. And they were astonished. They were all astonished. Peter, James, and John, whoever else was with them. And they make their way to shore. And Jesus says, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. There's bigger things that you're going to see. There's bigger things that you're going to be involved in. Peter was about ready to experience some great things. And For this he should not fear. And he was going to be involved in something that was far, far greater than bringing in two mother loads of fish in ships to the shore. He was going to be involved in some great things. He was going to see a transfiguration. He was going to see Moses and Elijah. He was going to hear the voice of God saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. He was going to see Lazarus being brought forth from a grave after being dead for 4 days. He was going to go into the tomb and see an empty tomb and know that Jesus was risen. Peter was going to preach to thousands, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God. And there were going to be thousands that would be baptized and be saved. He was going to become a fisher of men. Peter would see that the earth would quake and the foundation of the prisons would open the doors and he would be set free. And an angel would take him down one city block and then another and then depart from him. He would see these great things. Peter would come to a lady who has done good deeds in her life, many good alms deeds, and say, "Tabitha, arise." And she would arise. Peter would write epistles, and he would preach to those that were scattered abroad throughout Cappadocia, Bithynia, and all these other places. Peter would become a fisher of men. And at the end of his life, if you were to ask him, "Do you remember what happened there on the Sea of Galilee when you couldn't catch anything all night long, and then Jesus tells you to cast your nets? And you would bring in huge amounts of fish?" He would probably recall that with, "Yeah, that was something." But he went on to do much, much greater things. He yielded himself to the Lord. He came to land after having bringing these two ships full of fish to shore, and he forsook it. He forsook it. He forsook it all. He left it all. He left what he knew. He left knowing how to mend nets, clean nets. He knew how to sell fish in the marketplace. He knew all these things, and he left it all. And he followed Jesus. And his life was blessed. He received manifold more in this present time and in the life to come, life everlasting. He experienced the truth of Jesus Christ. He was sought out after by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ saved him. Because Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Peter recognized that he was a sinful man. And he says, "Depart from me, Lord." And Peter got things wrong often. Peter didn't become a spectacular, perfect disciple immediately. He grew into it. The power of the Holy Spirit worked in his life. And he grew. And then we see Levi here. It says, after these things, after he had healed a man that was lame and not only healed him, but forgave him his sin, he went forth and he sees a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and Jesus just simply says to Levi, "Follow me, follow me." And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi, recognizing that this is the Lord and this is something great, he recognized that he didn't need to put his faith or his trust in the Roman government providing for him anymore, but he can put his faith and his trust in him who can do all things. He rejoices and he makes a great feast at his own house, just simply like the Zacchaeus, the chief publican. He makes this great feast at his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. If we can just simply imagine what that scene was like, these weren't the most stellar, upright people of reputation. And so the scribes and the Pharisees were murmuring against the disciples, saying, "Why do ye eat with and drink with publicans and with sinners?" And then Jesus responds by saying, "If you're whole, if you're good, you don't need a physician. If you're healthy, everything's working fine, why would you go to a doctor? But if you're sick, you need a doctor. You need a physician." And so he's saying, I didn't come to call the righteous, but I came to call the sinners to repentance. And so if we acknowledge that we are sinners, then we can be healed. Those that were in Levi's house were in need of healing. The scribes and the Pharisees were also in need of healing, but they didn't recognize that. They didn't recognize that. And so Peter was called to be a fisher of men. And so he did. The Lord Jesus, when he began his ministry, as it's recorded in Matthew, he began, and the first things that he started preaching was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent. This was the beginning of Jesus' preaching. And if we repent, we're acknowledging, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. And I need healing of my spiritual disease that I have. And I know that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, can heal me as that great physician of my sin-sick soul. And so again, Jesus is saying that there is great blessings in this time and in the world to come, or in the age to come, life everlasting, if we repent of our sins. Jesus began his ministry by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So Peter, being endowed with the Holy Spirit, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, no longer fearful, no longer hesitant, no longer bold in his own strength or in his own ways, but simply relying upon the power of God, preaches to a multitude. And when they heard his preaching, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter responds to them and says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Peter preached the same that Jesus was preaching, repent and be baptized. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you will receive that remission of sins. When somebody is cleared of cancer, they are in remission. And when Jesus saves, we are in remission of our sins. Our sins are in remission. They are gone away. They are defeated. And then we can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then Peter and John, when they went up to the temple to pray and they healed that man that was lame, there was a much to do about that, and Peter took that opportunity to preach to the people that were gathered there, as they're all rejoicing that this man who was lame is now leaping and rejoicing. And he says to the people there, taking this opportunity to preach the kingdom of God, he says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Repent and be converted. This is something that our denomination can never change. The gospel needs to go forth. We need to repent and be converted that we might be saved, that our sins could be blotted out. There can be no other way. Jesus was preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Peter was a fisher of men, and he was preaching, "Repent and be converted. Repent and be baptized, that your sins may be blotted out." When we think that we had done something that was sinful, it was displeasing to the Lord, and we were in a rebellious state, and that got noted. That sin got noted. But when we repent and are converted, that deed that we had done gets blotted out. It gets inked out. And you can't no longer recognize it. That deed that was done, that was done in a rebellious state against God, gets blotted out. You don't see it anymore. And Peter is saying this to the people here: "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Lord willing, we're going to have a baptism this weekend. And there are souls who have repented, who have converted, who are leaving this world and placing Jesus Christ first in their lives and are following him. Jesus sought them out, and Jesus saved them. Six souls, and we rejoice. But here, in Peter's time, there were 3,000. It says, and they gladly received the word and were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They came to believe. They were recipients of being saved by Jesus Christ. Will you come, our friend outside of Jesus Christ, will you come and recognize first and foremost that Jesus Christ has come to save that which was lost? Will you recognize that you are a sinner and not to think of yourself as, no, I'm good, I don't need to be saved? Will you not recognize that you have been deceived by Satan and come to the light of Jesus Christ and to the truth of Jesus Christ and believe? Believe in Jesus Christ, and then renounce this world. Be converted. It says, many other words did Peter testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. And what that means is, Peter is saying, in essence, in all these things, what was the summary of his message was, save yourself from this perverse, from this rebellious, from this crooked society. Save yourself from it. How many more baptisms are going to go by and you're still not in a baptism? Jesus came to save and to seek that which was lost. And he wants to save. There is good news that we can be saved. That we no longer have to believe the lies of Satan. Are we tired of the lies of Satan? Are we tired of being disappointed yet time and time again in sin? And not receive the peace and the joy that can come in being saved by Jesus Christ? Peter says, unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus sent him to bless you. God the Father sent Jesus here upon this earth to seek and to save that which was lost, to bless you, that you don't have to be condemned, that you can be saved. You can be saved. That's God's desire. This is how the plan of salvation came to be, because of his love for all mankind. He wants you to save you from this crooked, perverse, rebellious society that we live in, that we can have life, and that we can have life eternally with him. This is the desire. Peter became a fisher of men. He fulfilled that which he was called to. The Lord is calling you and has great things in store for you. He wants to give you manifold more in this life and in the life to come, eternal life. He wants to give this gift to you. Will you not come and place your faith in him? Amen.